It's time to get into the meat and potatoes of things for the second half hour. We're going to be talking medical malpractice with my guest, Joseph Dooley. He's an attorney in a solo practice in Chicago, Illinois, with his own firm, the Law Office of Joseph M. Dooley III, specializing primarily in representing individuals who have been injured by medical malpractice or auto accidents. He has been practicing 22 years in this area of law. He graduated from the IIT Chicago Kent College of Law in 1988 and went to work for the Chicago law firm Pretzel and Stauffer for 8 years, representing doctors and hospitals in medical malpractice cases. Well, in 1996, he began his own work as plaintiff's personal injury attorney, representing injured patients in medical malpractice cases. He went into solo practice in the year 2000 and continues to represent injured patients in his law practice. He's a member of the American Bar Association, Illinois State Bar Association, Illinois Trial Lawyers Association, the American Association for Justice, and the Society of Trial Lawyers. Joseph, welcome to the Legal Forum.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
What is medical malpractice?
I know you just spent the last half hour talking about auto accidents, and actually sort of the elements of a cause of action for medical malpractice are the same in this respect, that it is an act of negligence requiring a doctor or hospital to meet their duty to the patient, which is defined by a standard of care for them to act reasonably, as a well-qualified physician would do in the same or similar circumstances. If they breach that duty or standard of care, and cause injury, and there has to be injury to have a claim for medical malpractice. And then the final and really important element is that the doctor's violation of that standard of care has to be a cause of that injury. And I stress the fact that there needs to be an injury, because oftentimes a doctor or hospital may do something wrong or that could be harmful to a patient but doesn't actually cause the harm. And I get those calls all the time. There has to be an injury. I mean, thank goodness not all of the adverse events result in injury.
Well, and in some cases, some people may have taken the wrong medication and get sick and just assume that's medical malpractice.
That happens, or they an interesting call I get sometimes, and this is happening more and more, and I don't know why, that they are prescribed the wrong medication.
Yes.
And I get the call, can I sue them? And they said, did you take the medication? And they say, no. I said, well, just return it and get the correct medication. You know, again, there has to be an injury. And some people think if something went wrong that they should be able to sue somebody. And these are very difficult cases to win. You want to, and very difficult cases to prove. So you've got to have clearly all those elements. The standard of care element is met by, you know, having an expert on your side of the case, which will tell you what the standard of care is and whether that standard of care was breached by the specialist who you're looking into.
That brings my next question, Joseph. What do I need to prove to be successful in a medical malpractice case?
Yeah, again, getting back to that that expert issue, when we as plaintiff's attorneys get a case that to us, because of experience, sounds like it could be a medical malpractice case, the next step is to have it, to investigate it. And we have to have, on our side of the case, an expert who says the standard of care was breached. The case has to be certified by that medical expert in a actual certificate, which you have to attach to the complainant law. So you send the medical records and all the facts that you have about the case to a medical expert in the specialty that you're looking into. If it's an internal medicine doctor who you think hurt your client, you could send it to an internal medicine physician. If it's a surgeon, you send it to a surgeon. That physician will then tell you, yes, the standard of care was breached here, and the injury that your client suffered was due to that breach of the standard of care. Now, what's important about that is the cost of that investigation is minimally about, you know, you can sometimes with a small stack of records get it for $1,000, but usually that initial review is approximately $5,000. And those costs, once you take the case, are going to go up extremely high. A medical malpractice case can cost $100,000 easily to put on, as much as $200,000 to put on, because of the medical experts that you need to pay to represent your client. So therefore, you've got to be very careful when the case comes in to determine whether this person actually has a case.
Well, how is the standard of care determined?
Again, there's there's no book. You don't go to a book and there's a list of things that a doctor is supposed to
you
do.
You just check off
and check it off. No, it is determined by literally what is the practice in these circumstances that is standard in the industry. What do the doctors, how are they taught in medical school to handle the treatment of a certain disease or condition? And how is it done in the community? And did this doctor do it the way it's supposed to be done? And then it's determined by medical experts. And once I get my expert who's going to say that the standard of care was not met, the defense side, the doctor side, is going to have a medical expert to say the standard of care was met. So you've got a battle of the experts defining the standard of care for the jury, and the jury will have to decide which one accurately described the standard of care to their liking, and was the standard met.
Well, how do I know that I've been, before I even contact you, and that I've been a victim of medical malpractice? I know, an injury.
You have an injury, and I would say that for most people, it's really a gut call. They know when something has happened that it should not have happened that way. There are the obvious cases, the horror cases we hear of that are rare, where maybe the doctor operated on the wrong leg or they amputated the wrong leg, something like that. Those are rare. Most of the time, somebody who had a family member die, when they went in for a routine surgery that they were told would have a one-day recovery period in the hospital and a couple weeks at home and they'd be okay, they said, I wonder what went wrong here. And they, we look into it and look at the medical records. I would say most people feel in their gut that something went wrong, and they call us to have it investigated. And again, not most of them are not medical malpractice, but you do a thorough investigation to find out.
What are some examples of medical malpractice?
There is a failure to diagnose cases. There are when diagnoses are made and it's a misdiagnosis. There's wrong medications. There's a delay in diagnosis. For example, oftentimes there are people that have a doctor who fails to diagnose their cancer. A woman goes in, she has a lump in her breast, she felt it in the shower. She goes to her doctor and says, I'm concerned, I've never felt this lump before. The doctor says, after he feels it, if the doctor says, oh, that's, you're 35 years old, that's just fibrous tissue, that's something that I normally feel in a dense breast of a 35-year-old woman, it's nothing to worry about. Well, you might be relieved, but if you're still feeling, wow, I'd like to get another opinion, and you do that a couple weeks later, and another doctor says, we're going to do a CAT scan and I'm going to do a biopsy, they find that it's cancer. In this case, that first doctor missed the diagnosis of cancer, but on this one, you probably suffered no harm because there was a small delay in the diagnosis, and the treatment will be the same regardless of the missed diagnosis. But that misdiagnosis becomes a case when you trust the doctor's diagnosis and you go on in life, and now a year later you say, I still have that lump in my breast, and now a new doctor comes on and says on a biopsy, this is a stage 4 cancer, and had it been caught a year ago, it would have been a stage 1 and it was treatable. Now we've got a major, you've got chemo, radiation, your prognosis is far worse. Now you've got a medical malpractice case of misdiagnosis. That's just one example, but there are many where it varies between was the misdiagnosis one that caused harm or not.
If I think I've been a victim of medical malpractice, what should I do?
Well, I think you should first talk to your doctor. The problem is most doctors will not admit, and I think this is a problem, they will not admit that they committed malpractice. So it becomes a mystery for the patient to solve on their own. So really the first call usually goes to a lawyer like me, and I often tell doctors, as it turns out, the plaintiff's lawyer ends up being your first line of defense. Why don't you just explain to the patients what happened and that it was a risk of the procedure and that it can be fixed and it wasn't malpractice, and talk to them about it so that when I get the call, I don't have to tell them that. But most of the time it is go to the plaintiff's lawyer. The plaintiff's lawyer will do what I said earlier and get it out for an investigation. If we think that there's a meritorious claim, we will go to a medical expert to investigate that.
How do I choose an attorney to investigate a potential malpractice claim?
Usually I would say that people find an attorney like me who does medical malpractice through another attorney that they know who they call.
Maybe their tax lawyer, attorney,
or a family lawyer, or somebody who did their dad's will or whatever, and they say they think they have a medical malpractice case, and that lawyer will refer you to a malpractice attorney. The other way to do it is just, you know, get in the phone book, look at the ads. You can go on the internet and research us. Now we're all on the internet with web pages, tell you what we do. And you can call us, and we all take free consultations, come into the office or talk on the phone, tell us what your case is. We all will do that for free, that initial consultation. So that's how you would get an investigation done.
My guest is Joseph Dooley III. He is he has the law office of Joseph M. Dooley III at 100 West Monroe Street at Suite 1900 in Chicago. His telephone number, 312-236-7282. That is 312-236-7282. So if you have any questions after the program, give him a call on Monday morning, and he'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. Joseph, how does an attorney investigate a medical malpractice claim?
Well, again, we gather all the medical records. Most of the time, we'll ask my client or potential client to get the medical records and bring them in to me, whether it's a two-inch stack or two boxes of records. Bring them in, then I will do the initial review. And with 20 years of experience, I've seen almost every type of scenario that one can bring. Oftentimes, it's brand new, I will look at it, and if something hits me that I think is malpractice, then I will call the client and say, yes, I think we should start spending the money here, get an expert to review the case. Sometimes I can look at it and say, I've seen this case 100 times before. This is not a case. And I give the records back and say, you can try another attorney, but it's not a case. But if I do think it's medical malpractice, I send it out to a nurse consultant or most of the time a doctor to review the records and tell me what, if anything, went wrong in this case, and did it cause harm. And I will say that in most of those cases, that doctor, one of the judges used to say that experts are two things. They're very expensive, and they're from out of town. Because when you're suing a doctor in Illinois, most of the time we have to go out of state to get a review.
Because most of the doctors know doctors.
They do, and they don't want to be coming into a court basically in Illinois talking about a doctor in their community who did something wrong. There are some that will do it, and some that become outraged by what happened and will do it. But most of the time we do end up having to go out of town, which brings in this whole, expense that I talked about earlier.
Yeah. What is the statute of limitations for a medical malpractice claim?
It is 2 years in Illinois, 2 years from the date that the negligent act occurred. If there is a slight exception. It's a different. I would always try to keep it to the 2 years because it is actually you can be 2 years from the date that the patient knew or should have known that the malpractice occurred, and the reason that is there is so sometimes a patient will not know for a while because they go through a course of treatment with their doctor who keeps telling them everything's going to be okay, and after 6 or 7 months. They finally have somebody else look at it, and they say, well, the reason you got this is because the first doctor who you've been seeing committed malpractice. So the minute they hear that, it's 2 years from that date. But I'd rather go from 2 years from the exact date that it occurred so we don't have any question about it. So it is 2 years.
Where is a medical malpractice lawsuit filed?
In the county where the malpractice occurred. So, if it happened in Cook County, we'd file it right down in the Daly Center. If it's in Will County, go to Joliet and file it at the courthouse there. So it's in that county. There's, a courthouse in each county in Illinois.
What is required before a medical malpractice lawsuit can be filed?
This is what we talked about earlier, where you have to have in Illinois a certificate from an expert who certifies the case that says this is a meritorious cause of action. Without that certificate, you cannot proceed and go forward on a medical malpractice case.
What will happen after the lawsuit is filed?
What happens after it's filed is that usually at that point we've got all of our experts lined up who are ready to testify on your behalf. Now the defense will start defending the case. We will first exchange written discovery. I'll send all of your medical records to the other side. They might order the medical records on their own, so both sides will end up having the same file. We will have the same evidence. And then what they will want to do is take your deposition to see what happened to you, take your family member's deposition, see what happened to you, how it has affected you. Then we get into the medical testimony, usually treaters that were involved, find out what happened, and then you get into the medical experts, and you get this battle of the experts I was talking about. One side will say it was malpractice, the other side will say it wasn't, and next it's trial. The process in Illinois right now is taking a little over 3 years from the date the suit is filed to the time it will actually get to a jury.
Are medical malpractice claims routinely settled before filing a lawsuit?
There's nothing routine in the medical malpractice arena, except I will say what is most routine is the Illinois State Medical Society's insurance exchange, which covers 90 or so percent of the doctors in Illinois, fight these cases usually to the very end and want to try most of them. The cases all of the cases, you know, have been said to be meritorious by our experts, but the ones that the defense actually thinks that they are going to lose will settle, and most of them do settle. The ones that go to trial are the ones where, you know, the battle of the experts is really, it's almost a toss-up, and that's not good for the plaintiff's side, because in those cases, most of the time, over 80% of those cases are won by the doctor or hospital at trial. So in other words, if you were seriously injured and it was definitely malpractice, even their own defense experts are struggling to defend it, those cases are going to settle. And we, again, spend $100,000 to $200,000 to investigate and prosecute these cases. So, you know, do most of them settle? Yeah, most of us will only bring very strong cases because they're too expensive to go in with a 50-50 chance.
Well, if they do go to trial, how long usually is a trial?
A medical malpractice trial is typically the shorter trial would be 5 days. Some of them can go 5 or 6 weeks. It just depends how many witnesses you're putting on and how, you know, how serious the injury is. Sometimes some people need life care plans, and you've got economists coming in and nurses and all that to talk about your future care. You've got all the treaters coming in to talk and all the experts and family members, so trials can go a long time.
Are patients successful with medical malpractice cases at trial?
What I just said is I think that the statistics will bear out that most of the cases that actually go to trial are won by the physician. The strong case, the one that is clearly malpractice and both sides will agree, will settle.
What are the cost and attorney fees associated with a medical malpractice lawsuit?
The costs are, as I've described, they're very expensive and can run $100,000 to $200,000. And what happens is, just like your prior guest talked about, we take these cases for fees on a contingency basis. The one of the things the doctors' lobby did, I think it was in 1986. I might have that year wrong, but it was a couple decades back, they set our fees in medical malpractice cases to try to reduce the number of cases that would be filed. So, for an example, in the auto cases you talked about earlier, it's a straight one-third of the settlement or the verdict. In medical malpractice, it's one-third of the first $150,000, then it's 25% of the next $850,000 up to $1 million. Then any money over $1 million, we get 20%. So in a case where we're spending more money and there's more risk and they're harder, we get less of a fee than we do on an auto case, but that's by statute.
You're listening to The Legal Forum on AM 750 WNDZ. You have a medical malpractice question, 773-631-8202 is our telephone number, our email address, thelegalforum750@gmail.com. And my guest in studio, Joseph Dooley from the law offices of Joseph M. Dooley III, 100 West Monroe Street, Suite 1900, 312-236-7282. 312-236-7282 is his telephone number. Are doctors required to carry malpractice insurance?
They are not. Most do, and most patients don't ask their doctor, do you have medical malpractice insurance? And we probably should ask that, but again, we all go in to see our doctor. We like our doctors, and we trust them, as we should. But there are doctors out there who do not carry insurance. And I will tell you that if they are on staff at a hospital, they have insurance. You don't even need to ask, because the hospitals will not let doctors be on their staff if they don't have insurance. But there are doctors out there, and I have had suits against some of them that do not have insurance. So they are at risk in a medical malpractice case to pay all the money right out of their pocket. And those are very tough cases.
What is the conspiracy of silence?
That's an interesting question. We hear that in police brutality cases a lot, but in the medical field, it's not used that often. But what what I think it really means is that, as we talked about before, doctors do not want to criticize other doctors in their own community, and so that's part of it. The other part of it is on the actual case, the nurses and the doctors who cared for that patient. They really, as the treaters, do not want to criticize the person who committed the malpractice. So what we fortunately have are medical records. And, you know, when a doctor is treating somebody or a nurse is treating somebody, the contemporaneous note that they write at the time they're treating is the most honest assessment of what happened to that patient. So whatever they're testifying to today, if they're trying to change it, it doesn't matter because the notes will tell us actually what happened.
Will the doctor lose his license if I file a medical malpractice lawsuit?
No, the doctor will not lose his license. And even doctors who have been sued and had guilty verdicts against them, 10 to 15, 20 times, they're investigated by the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation. They rarely, if ever, lose their license. I equate this to, the good driver who runs a stop sign and hits and maybe kills somebody. That doesn't make them a bad driver. That makes them somebody who ran a stop sign. They were really bad in that instance.
Right.
You have very good doctors who do the right thing every day, but they've had a bad event, an adverse event, and that is not something they're going to lose their license over. But my victim, my client, should be compensated for that bad day at the office or bad day at the hospital that you had.
Joseph Dooley joining me in studio right now on the Legal Forum, and we're talking medical malpractice. 773-631-8202 is our telephone number. And Joseph, you brought up before we went on the air about a study. You want to talk about that study?
It's interesting. The study just came out this week from the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services, and they were mandated by Congress in 2006 to do this study and just came out with the results this week to determine the number of adverse events or harm to Medicare patients and the cost of that to taxpayers. Of course, in Congress we're debating health care and we're debating what is the cost, how can we reduce cost of Medicare services to patients. They found in this study, and this is the first statistical study of its kind since one that was done in 1998, which we've been citing, but this is the newest and most accurate study. They found in their study that there are 180,000 Medicare patients die each year from adverse events in a hospital. They have 134,000 adverse events in a hospital for Medicare patients per month. So 1 out of 7 Medicare patients are experiencing an adverse event in a hospital per month. 15,000 patients per month are dying from an adverse event in the hospital. Is an adverse event medical malpractice? Not always, but some of those are, and those need to be investigated. Now, an adverse event can be a post-operative infection. A post-operative infection is hardly ever medical malpractice. It can be, though, wrong medication, wrong fluid management. It can be something that causes somebody going to respiratory or multi-organ failure because of improper fluid management. Those types of things need to be investigated and are medical malpractice. The hospitals need to get better at preventing these adverse events. These types of things are costing the taxpayers $4 billion a year, and this is a good place for Congress to get involved in. If they want to start talking about how we can reduce costs, we need to get programs in place to prevent these adverse events. They said 44% of the adverse events in the hospital setting for Medicare patients are preventable. So let's prevent them.
Some great advice there, and what an amazing study. I never even I never seen that, and it's most recent, and it's really some great information.
And that's only looking at the Medicare population. So imagine if you put it to everybody who's not a Medicare patient, how large these numbers would be if you studied the entire population and what's going on in hospitals. But these are pretty alarming statistics.
They are. Joseph, what, if anything, can I do to prevent myself and my family from being victims of medical malpractice?
I think that the most important thing for a patient is to be vigilant. And I use the word vigilant because a lot of, as patients, our first instinct is to completely trust our doctor. And that's good because, as I said, you know, most of the doctors are doing good things and taking care of you well. But if in your gut you feel this just isn't right, what you're telling me isn't right, my mom is sicker than she should be, I don't think she should be in the hospital this long, I don't understand why this or that is happening, ask questions. And if you don't like the answers you're getting, or if you're not getting answers, get another doctor and ask that doctor the questions. But be vigilant. The vigilance of a patient and communication from the patient to the doctor, if you force the questions, get the answers, will save a lot of adverse events.
We have about 30 seconds. Any final thoughts for the listeners out there regarding medical malpractice?
Again, I would say, you know, communication with your doctor. Doctors are busy. Doctors can make mistakes. You should understand that they can make mistakes. I think they would admit it, that they can make mistakes. Not every mistake is going to be medical malpractice, but you can prevent those mistakes from occurring just by talking and communicating with your doctor, letting them know what medications you're on, let them know what changes in your condition, let them know your symptoms, ask questions why they're doing things, and medical malpractice can and will be prevented in those situations.
Joseph Dooley III, thank you so much for being on the Legal Forum. Joseph thank has you. Been my guest here on the Legal Forum, and his law office of Joseph M. Dooley III is located at 100 West Monroe Street, Chicago, Illinois, Suite 1900. His telephone number, 312-236-7282, 312-236-7282. Thanks for listening to the Legal Forum. Join us every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. to get all your legal questions answered. The executive producer of the Legal Forum is Steve Kowalski. For more information on the Legal Forum, visit the website at www.thelegalforum.webs.com and email us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at thelegalforum@750@gmail.com. I'm Big John Vick for the Legal Forum on AM 750 WNDZ. Coming up next on AM 750 Sportsline, right here on WNDZ. Take care of each other. See ya when I see ya. Thanks for listening, everybody.